So I find it interesting to look at the, if you look at the flame tail on Starship and how long it is. It's a very long flame tail, which is due to the fact that the chamber pressure, well, it's just outputting a lot more gas at a higher velocity. But I think the flame tail is like maybe 1,000 feet long. It's like more than twice the length of the rocket. And that will actually get, as we increase the thrust, that will get longer. So, yeah. And inevitably, the rocket grows in height. So Starship 2, we're aiming for, like currently Flight 3 would be around 40 or 50 tons to orbit. So the current design, Starship 2 will be over 100 tons, and then Starship 3 will be over 200 tons. It's going from around 7,000 tons thrust to over 8,000. But I think we'll end up ultimately with more than 10,000 tons of thrust, probably 7,000 or 8,000 tons of liftoff mass, and at least 10 meters taller. We'll see. Tends to grow. Yeah, exactly. So it probably grows a bit more than that, even really. So if you look at Falcon 9, we're not going to do the length to diameter of Falcon 9. That would be crazy. But Falcon 9 is a very long rocket, so I suspect it'll probably get a bit longer than this. But at 200 tons per flight, fully reusable, that is pretty incredible. And this will be on the order of 500 feet tall. And then there's thousands of design improvements here. So, I mean, one of the most profound things is Starship 3 will cost less per flight than Falcon 1. So that's the difference between if you've got a fully reusable rocket or an expendable rocket. The fully reusable rocket with low-cost propellant and autogenous pressurization actually costs less than a tiny expendable rocket. So, and it'll do, like I said, Falcon 1 is about half a ton to orbit. The Starship 3 will be 400 times more payload for less than the cost of a Falcon 1. Ultimately, I think we might be able to get the cost per flight to Earth orbit down around $2 million or $3 million. So these are sort of unthinkable numbers. Nobody ever thought that this was possible, but we're not breaking any physics to achieve this. So this is within the bound, without breaking physics, we can do this. So the Mars missions are 2 years apart, or 26 months. If you look closely at the Starlink router, you see the Hohmann transfer from Earth orbit to Mars orbit. That's basically to say to people, the Starlink system that you're buying is helping get humanity to Mars. I think that's pretty cool. So roughly every 2 years, thousands of ships would depart from Earth to Mars. It would look like Battlestar Galactica, but in a good way, you know. Hopefully without being chased by the Cylons. It would be an incredible thing to see these thousands of ships departing every 26 months for Mars. What this diagram is basically saying is that for getting to Mars, we would create a kind of a propellant depot ship. The propellant depot would look more like a hot dog than like a sphere. It's really just a long ship with a lot of insulation. And we'd fill that ship up, and then shortly before, or as they're going to Mars, the ships would take off with, I don't know, a couple hundred tons of payload from Earth, reach orbit with very almost no propellant, and then get refilled by the tanker, and then go to Mars and land, go all the way to Mars with over 200 tons of useful payload. Then on Mars, in the beginning, we would, I think we would simply reuse the ship materials, so most of the ships wouldn't come back, but then over time, you'd want to bring the ships back so you could reuse them. And for that, we would need to create methane, CH4, and oxygen, O2, on Mars, which you can do with H2O and CO2. So the atmosphere is CO2, and there's plenty of water ice, H2O. And so it's kind of like tailor-made for, well, we actually, the reason we have a methane-oxygen system is because you can make methane and oxygen on Mars fairly easily, like not... That's not a total walk in the park, but the ingredients are readily available to create methane and oxygen on Mars. So you build a propellant depot and bring the ships back and build out as quickly as possible a self-sustaining civilization on Mars. And we want to get the cost of going to Mars such that almost anyone could afford it. So like if somebody were to just work hard on Earth, save up, and that they'd be able to go to Mars. So it's like anyone, ideally, almost anyone could go to Mars. And I think you'll see a lot of governments also sponsor people. And ultimately, we'll want to get... So there's kind of an optimal landing zone on Mars where you have resources. So you've got access to water or frozen water. That you're not too close to the poles, so you can use solar power. It would be nice to use nuclear. I don't know if we'll get the approval, but nuclear would be very handy on Mars because you can use the heat and you can generate electricity. So, and then you kind of want to be about 2 kilometers below sea level. So if Mars did have an ocean, you'd actually be quite deep in the ocean, at least at first. So let's see. That's Mars, kind of want to land about halfway between the pole and the equator, in a kind of a deep area of Mars. If the deeper it is, the more you can use the atmosphere to brake, and the atmospheric density is higher. So these are all the things that would have to be developed. Sometimes people ask me, are we developing these things? I'm like, not yet, because this is the cart, and we need the horse first. So the rocket is the horse, and then this is the cart. But ultimately, we'll need all these things, lots of power generation, mining in general, ice mining, propellant production, long-duration life support, a lot of construction, and then global communication. So I think this would open up a lot of opportunities for entrepreneurs that want to create things on Mars, whether that is a propellant. I think we'll have to do the propellant depot, but whether it's like iron ore refining or a pizza joint or a bar, you know, there'll be an opportunity to do all the things that we like on Earth on Mars. Like a Mars bar would be, yeah. Great. So I think probably a rough order of magnitude guess for what you need, how many people do you need for a self-sustaining city is about 1 million, and several million tons of cargo. So, which we can do, and we can do this in 20 years. But like I said, in order for it to be self-sustaining, you actually need the entire base of industry. You can't be missing any element. So that's really what's going to take a while is, do you have everything you need to survive on Mars? At that point, the future of consciousness is assured. So if you do 10 launches a day at 200 tons per launch, 1.5 million tons to LEO per opportunity, you net that out to 250,000 tons to Mars per opportunity. So that means you can get to 1 million tons in about 8 years since the opportunities are 2 years apart. So I think that's pretty doable. And I'm like, we're actually going to do this. Are we going to, we are actually going to do it, which is insane to think. So millions of tons to Mars. Yeah. Wild. And we're going to build a lot of vehicles. So, several thousand vehicles per year is what we'll need. Which really quite doable, actually. It sounds like a lot, but it's very doable. Yeah, if you compare it to sort of car production, it's a small number. Of course, this is much bigger than a car, but even if you look at the total tonnage, it's very doable to build several thousand vehicles a year. So that's what we need to do, and we're going to do it.